If you like what you're hearing, why not try a StephCast subscription? Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. Go to StephanieMiller.com to find out how.
What? Who is it, Chris?
Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz of Florida.
What? I just said, what are the chances? Good morning, Congresswoman Schultz.
Good morning, Stephanie.
We're thrilled.
That's a heck of a welcome. Thank you very much.
Well, we're thrilled to have you. It's our first time.
I know. I'm so glad to be here.
And well, we're happy to have you. So now, you know, people are very emotional these days over this whole race. I know you're a Hillary supporter.
What
do you think is going to happen here? I mean, what we're down to is Howard Dean is saying the states have to pay for it. The states are saying they can't pay for it. What's going to happen?
You know, Stephanie, I can't keep thinking that and feeling like I'm refereeing an argument between my 8-year-olds.
It's like the kids are in the back seat. You're like, I have to stop this car.
Really, it's really when I listen to some of the people who are arguing and bickering over the rules, and you know, making sure that they're abided by. I mean, yes, rules are important, but you know. I think it was Martin Luther King that said that unjust laws, had in order to make sure that they were rectified. And if you go all the way back to, and I certainly am paraphrasing Dr. King because that I'm sure was not an accurate quote, but if you go back to over a year ago when we were fighting in Florida to make sure that the Republican legislature did not change the primary to violate the rules, we tried to make sure that they would, you know, set the date of the primary on February 5th. They refused, and then ultimately the language to change the primary date was in an overall elections bill that made sure that we had would have a paper trail in Florida from now on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not something that Democrats were in a position to vote against.
Right.
So we tried to make the case at the Rules Committee that this wasn't Democrats that violated the party rules. It's not like we intentionally went out and said, we're going to do it this way. We were essentially, you know, run over by Republicans, which is what happens, unfortunately.
Right. But Congresswoman Schultz, let's fast forward to now. What happens now? I mean, how is this going to play out, in your opinion?
Well, the reason I wanted to, rehash how we got here is because when people are continuing to insist that the rules were broken and we have to abide by them and we can't change them in the middle, you know, we can when we look at why that they were applied in the first place and that they were applied inappropriately. What can happen now?
Right, but both of the candidates agreed that these states were not going to count. I mean, this is how.
You know, I beg to differ. I mean, I don't think that I don't think that Senator Clinton was. I mean, she certainly agreed not to campaign in the state, but that was a pledge, Stephanie, to the four early states. There are two separate things that happened. The Democratic National Committee stripped our state of all of its delegates. And separately, having nothing to do with the DNC decision, the candidate signed a pledge to the four early states. So that is an important, important distinction.
Mm-hmm.
That was the agreement, was that the candidates would not campaign, and they did not. And that is now being tried.
Okay, right. But what my point is, Congresswoman, is what can we do now? Because obviously, as you're aware, many, many, many people do not think it would be fair to seat the delegates as is. So, either we don't count them or we do a redo. But what I'm saying are, what are the chances of a redo? Is the money going to be the issue?
Almost none. There's almost no chance. I would say there's absolutely no chance.
What about half and half? What if the state paid half and the DNC paid half?
It's $20 million, Stephanie. We just cut.
Oh, come on. You have that in your couch, don't you? Come on, Congresswoman.
Well, apparently the state of Florida doesn't, because we're still being run by Republicans who just had to cut $500 million out of our state budget.
I think there's only one solution. I think Oprah must pay for it.
That's it. I agree. I've heard that suggestion thrown around. Exactly. But, I mean, all kidding aside, we're all in this together when, at the end of the day, we have to make sure that we elect a Democratic president.
Yeah, I agree.
And this whole argument is counterproductive to doing that, because you can't win the presidential election without Florida. And if we don't seat Florida's delegation at the national convention, then we will alienate not just the 1.75 million voters that came out on January 29th, but we will be sending a message to voters with very raw nerves from the 2000 election and down here that our votes don't matter, and that we don't matter. And that's just, we can't go through another disenfranchisement in this state.
Congresswoman Schultz, I'm sure you're hearing a lot of the chatter from, whether it's on TV or just from voters, that a lot of people are becoming very disenchanted with the Clinton campaign's tactics. She has now, in the last couple of days, twice complimented John McCain at Barack Obama's expense. Is that something you think is a good tactic for our party,
well,
for our country?
I would say that indicating that John McCain has years of experience is not complimenting him. It's stating a fact. Senator McCain does have years of experience, as does in public office and public life, as does Senator Clinton, and Senator Obama does not. That's just
Senator,
a fact.
Well, Senator Obama has more legislative experience than Senator Clinton. Do you think it's fair to count being First Lady?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't have more experience in public life. And the bottom line is that we need to make sure, if we're shifting gears to why I support Hillary Clinton versus Barack Obama, we've got to make sure that in the situation we are in this country, that we have somebody who is ready to lead on day one, who has a plan, a detailed set of plans on access, expanding access to health care, on making sure that we really can wean ourselves off of foreign oil and focus on alternative energy sources, that we can pull ourselves out of the war in Iraq, and that we have a leader who is going to be respected around the world and who is not going to need a manual next to them to be able to check on how they're going to go about doing those
things. But I'm saying I think the Obama campaign actually makes a fair point in saying that he has more legislative experience than she does, that I don't think you can count First Lady. She wasn't Secretary of State. She wasn't negotiating,
Stephanie, he was in the state Senate in Illinois for 6 years.
Right, but I mean, she's been a senator two years longer than he has. That's basically what more experience, in my opinion, she has.
She was a U.S. senator for 6 years, and she was First Lady for 8 years. And that isn't. She certainly wasn't in the White House supervising the cook. She traveled the world, met and negotiated with world leaders, led the U.N. delegation from the United States to Beijing on the conference on women. To belittle her experience in the White House.
I'm not belittling. I'm saying that I don't think. I think if she's going to keep making this argument, that she loses that argument to John McCain then, if it's only experience that we're looking at.
I really beg to differ. She has comparable experience to John McCain, and he does not. He has a few years in the state legislature and 2 years in the United States Senate.
All right, let's not fight anymore. We're both pretty.
That's really all that matters at the end of the day, right?
Let's talk about the people that we hate in common, and that would be Harriet Myers and Josh Bolton. Now, talk about the contempt of Congress situation.
Well, I sit on the House Judiciary Committee, as you know, and we have been fighting as Democrats in the House of Representatives to issue, which we did, contempt citations against Harriet Myers and Josh Bolton because of their refusal to come and testify, even though they were subpoenaed, to come in front of the Judiciary Committee.
Which sets a horrible precedent for any administration in the future.
Right. That we even had to subpoena them instead of them coming voluntarily was outrageous. But stepping beyond that, we went through the process of subpoenaing them. The Justice Department is bound after Congress passes votes on a contempt of Congress citation to refer that to a U.S. attorney and pursue it. And immediately following our passage of the contempt citation, the Attorney General indicated publicly that he was going to refuse to refer the case and prosecute it via an AUSA. Mm-hmm. And that's just absolutely an abuse of executive power. It is just another example of this administration believing that they are
above the law,
a dictator, a monarchy,
absolutely,
and operating as if there is no other branch of government except them.
Well, you are doing the Lord's work, and when Barack Obama is our nominee, I will come to Miami, and you and I will sing Kumbaya.
And we will lock arms and walk forward together, and I expect you to do the same when Hillary's the nominee.
That'll be the day.
Oh, all right. Stop it. Yes, you will, Stephanie.
Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz, thank you for taking time for us.
I'm going to hold you to it.
All right. You got it. We'll do some shots.
Okay.
All right. There she goes, Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz. All right.